I don't care about the singing. I don't, I'm not here for right. drag singing. I'm a lip sync lover.
Not everybody but, is. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm like, not here for drag singing at all. Like, I've never liked drag singing. I think it's like, it's, I think it's extra.
Yeah. Right. And, but the thing was, my favorite thing is, and it's only really happened to Pelvis Drag Races, the girls do their bit and then they step to the side like the camera's still not on them and they stand there like they're waiting for a bus.
I know. Honey, you're still on stage.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I'm so dead, but you're so right.
Attention. Calling all whispering hunties. Oh, crrr.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Mijan, a semi-drag race expert.
And I'm Nick. I never watched it before, until now.
And together, we are Whispering Hunties. We're a podcast about global queer culture and drag race.
Check us out wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, Nick.
Hi, Mijo.
Yet another week, yet another funny, crazy story about my Saturday night, which we're not going to put on the pod this week. It is really good to see your lovely face again today.
This old thing.
How's your ankle?
Still a bit swollen, still a bit painful, but I have no choice but to work a few 14-hour days, you know.
Air cast?
No, I am keeping it wrapped with a bandage. I'm elevating it, nicing it as often as I can at home. But I have it wrapped like all day.
You didn't get an air cast.
No.
I'm telling you, air casts are the best things for ankles. So when I had my air cast, mm-hmm. I was able to try out for like a dance company.
Wow.
In an air cast because it stabilizes the ankle. That's why I was like, the bandage is great. You can put the bandage on and put the air cast on top. Mm-hmm. It stabilizes and reinforces and it allows you
to have. Oh, yeah. Well, I should mention that I also have a very good constrictor stabilizer thing. It's mm-hmm. not an air cast, but it slips onto your foot. And I'm doing them on both feet because I actually missed both my ankles. It's just the left one was far worse. Yeah, that's the worst. And those are really good with compression stabilization. So
okay.
There's at least that too. But yeah, mm-hmm. it's not fun to. To like have to work a ton when I got an injury.
Oh my
but
God.
Hopefully it heals up very quick and then I'll be tapping and dipping and those things.
Okay, we do have a fantastic guest today. Her name is Victoria's Secret. And she is Ireland's tallest woman who you can find in venues, street corners, and queuing for chicken nuggets across Europe, while also performing to music. She neither wrote nor sang, thankfully. Celebrating 16 years of performing this year, probably 17 now, oh my gosh. She's best known for training the stage at the George Bar in Dublin, Ireland, as well as running Europe's longest-running drag entertainment company, Dragged Up. Having consistently booked international drag queens to perform in Ireland for over 8 years, she also toured the cities across Ireland, the UK, Europe, and the US. In 2019, she opened for some of the world's most beloved drag queens, including Adore Delato, Miss Cracker, and Spice Girl Melanie C. A career like that is one that we all wish for. So we're so happy that we had the professional, the glamour, the grace, the just... fabulosity of Victoria's Secret on the pod today.
We love her. She's hilarious. She looks great. She's getting ready for the gig, mama. And we wish we were attending that gig.
I know.
But for now, we'll just have to do with some fabulous conversation about Drag Race.
I know. Which is also great. So let's get to it. Please, without further ado, grab a snack. Sit back. Why don't you just get vaccinated again with a booster? And dip into that extra special dose of Whispering Hunties.
Because this virus attacks the lungs,
it's never more infuriating when you realize that your life has a price tag on it.
The truth of the matter is, we are in the middle of an apocalypse.
There's no leadership.
I went from being an ER nurse to you're a healthcare hero. I feel like a sham.
Apocalypse Now is a podcast that asks if we are living at the beginning of the end. I'm Joanna Van Fine. Join me every week as I talk with interesting people and decide if we're all doomed. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh my God, is that Victoria's Secret Dublin in red lip getting ready for the gig? Oh my God, who are we?
I don't know. I mean, listen, like in the right lighting, I'm a gorgeous woman. In the wrong lighting, I would hag, so.
Well, this must be the right lighting because I love what I see.
Either that or else you've had, you had lunchtime cocktails, one or the other.
You're absolutely stunning. Thank you for being here. Question, can you explain why your TikToks are so funny?
I mean, I kind of gave up on TikTok already, though. That's the only thing. Like, I'm a 37-year-old man who really didn't want to do it in the first place. But then I was like, oh, all these kids are just, like, making this TikTok thing, like, you know, a moment. So I'm like, I wanted to go, like, Snapchat did. Can Kylie Jenner just come out and say, I paid TikTok, and then Snapchat will be over just like TikTok is. Or vice versa.
Yeah.
Right.
Wait, did Kylie Jenner just declare that, like, Snapchat was done and she was, like, done with it?
Show those kids.
Basically, that's kind of what happened. So she was all about the Snapchat Live. And it kind of coincided with the fact that the girls had all released these pay-per-view apps that you could keep up with them on those things. So I think she was essentially going, you can't follow me on Snapchat anymore. But you can pay $9.99 a month and see all my updates through this app. So she kind of, you know, like the share price dropped when she said that.
Well, get the bag, sis.
I think you deserve your own app. It's so funny. So there's this one time where Victoria's Secret is like walking through a hotel in a bodysuit that makes it look like she's naked. And then these two people are getting married. Like Mike's getting married, so I decided to show up or something like that. It was the funniest.
Oh, I'm sure that groom was tempted to turn right around.
It was the funniest.
They were not happy at all.
Oh no.
Yeah.
That should be like a good omen. Like if you see a drag queen on your wedding day, it's like, oh, that means you'll be married at least 20 years.
Well, I was working that day in that hotel, and the hotel manager came up to me and goes, I'm sorry, but you're not allowed in the foyer dressed like this. And I was like, I'm also staying here and I'm working here. However, I did not spend $20,000 at a wedding to be here. So, okay, I'll bite my tongue and let's get the hell out of here.
Right. Oh, man. Well, homophobia takes many forms.
Yeah. And we're never safe. We're never safe. Okay, well, so how are things in Ireland? Are we open? Are we open? Are we closed? Like, what's the dealio?
Yeah, we opened on Friday. No one's really, I mean, not sure about the etiquette of mask where he is at the moment. But we are allowed to dance again. So Chromatica took over the dance floor. That was a lovely moment.
Wait, this is the first time that Chromatica has taken over the dance floor?
Yeah, we haven't had nightclubs in 568 days. That's the last time. That's the last time we were legally allowed to dance in Dublin.
I'm so happy for you.
Wow.
It's very exciting. I mean, I'm lucky because I've been working so much in the UK that I've been used to like some form of normality for a few months now. But the gang over here are just like, their minds are blown. Absolutely blown. So tonight is our first non-socially distant drama show in Dublin in 570 days.
Oh my God. Well, it's going to be a party then.
I'm so excited for you.
Well deserved. Oh my God. All that anticipation. I'm excited for you. God, I'm going to Google flights right now.
Actually, I would love to go to Ireland. So Nick, if you want to plan that trip, we can do
it. Mm-hmm. Retrace some of my genealogy there.
Yeah. Oh, and mine as well. I mean, literally. Yeah. 23andMe. Okay, so what was it like listening to Rain on Me on the dance floor? Because that actually is like a moment for every queer person.
I mean, the first time was in Manchester. I got a bit emotional. I got like, you know, really sad and emotional. I mean, we've been waiting for so long in Ireland. We're almost at 95% vaccinated for people over 16, the age of 16. So
95%?
It's so safe
That's
to go
fantastic.
Out in Ireland. Wow.
They're all hungry. So it's like, but they've been reading holding back on nothing else.
That's fine.
At this moment. So it's, you know, it's as safe as it can be. And you're only allowed indoors if you have a vaccination certificate as well.
Good, 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 good.
This is why Irish people are so hot.
Yeah, a lot. That's how it's supposed to be here, like in New York and in Jersey. But a lot of places do not even check.
Wow.
So it's like, oh, yeah. Oh, it's a rule. We're being careful. But then Jersey, no enforcement. So that's why we've got what we got going on here.
That's only the dirty jurors. In New York, they check everyone.
Well, hopefully more places are. But at my restaurant in Brooklyn, people will still every day sell us, oh, you guys actually check. Okay, cool.
Seriously?
Some places aren't.
Yeah. Oh, weird.
That's wild.
Yeah. America.
That is scary and dangerous.
Yeah.
But 95%, God bless. God bless the Irish. I hooked up with an Irish guy like 2 weeks ago. It was like a dream. He was so sweet.
Yeah. Nice.
Now, when you say Irish, do you mean American Irish or moved abroad Irish? Because every American likes to tell me that they are related to me in some way.
Right. Now, when white people try to have a little culture and they say, oh, well, I'm Italian. It's like, baby, you're white.
Yeah. Now, don't get me wrong. My Irish brothers, sisters are all absolute wars. So they get around. I probably am related to them. Do you know what I mean?
No. This is like a legit Irish guy.
I probably know them now.
He was very sweet, and he left his underwear in my apartment.
Oh, a little gift.
Okay, but that being said, thank God things are opening. Where are you performing tonight?
So I'm performing in The George in Dublin, which
The George.
I think it holds I think it can hold about 800 people altogether.
Well, that's huge.
So the last two nights, there's been a queue outside the bar from 7 o'clock. To get in, and it can take up to an hour to get in because the gays want to party. We're sick of sitting indoors. We're sick of house parties.
Exactly.
I feel like there could be another bar opening up for queer people in Dublin. Because I only know Panty Bar, The George, and then there's the club down the street, right?
Yeah. But maybe, I mean,
we get like a fourth bar.
Gays in their 30s would tell me that there does need to be another bar, but gays in their 30s also think they go out a lot more than they actually do. And then when they look at it, y'all don't go out. So if you want a viable business, then gays need to get up off their asses and get off Grindr and go into the bars. You know?
Oh my God. That is the realness. That is the realness.
Yeah. Gay bars should start to turn into like living room style spaces. Yeah. And then, hey, best of both worlds. You're at home, but then you're spending your gay money.
Fair.
Well, here's the thing. I think it depends on the lifestyle of the city, I would say, because in Brooklyn, people in their 30s go out all the time. So
true.
You know, we've been conditioned to believe that we can't stay in our apartments. We have to go out.
They're too small. That's why.
So in Williamsburg, we normally have like at least three queer spaces just in our neighborhood. Mm.
Damn.
Must be nice.
It's nice.
But the foot traffic happens because we know that it's there and we know that the only way that we're going to meet someone, I mean, Grindr
sucks.
It does not work. Like it's a hope and a dream. But if you really want to meet someone, you got to go to the bar. You know what I mean? You just have to go to the places where the people are.
Yeah. Too many unknowns on Grindr.
Yeah.
Too many ways to cheat the profile or something like that.
Yeah.
In person, maybe they're right there.
Why? And I'm just waiting for Disney to like finally realize that the true romance story is in a gay bar. So they just need to set up the start of the next Disney film going, I found my Prince Charming in a gay bar.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Jeffrey Boyer Chapman is going to play a gay character
just gonna mention
in a
that.
Disney movie or a Disney show. I don't know what it is.
A TV show, yeah. On Disney Plus. I was just going to mention that because, like, hey, that's an inroad where we're getting there.
We're getting there. Like,
I'm just glad that he's gotten over kind of this drag race. But
yeah.
Oh.
Move on, baby. Move on.
Oh, the trauma.
It.
The trauma.
Onward and upward.
Like, he's traumatized. We're traumatized. And luckily, he knows what to do. You just move on. You don't stay in a bad relationship. You just go on to the next.
until you meet press, and then you speak to the press about your traumatic experience, which
right around when Canada season 2 is starting up.
I know.
Yeah.
I love that we looked at his laughed episode and this episode, we're like, wow, good media play.
Yeah, I mean, hey, it's all a game.
Nick.
Oh?
Can we talk about Canada's Drag Race?
Canada?
And I'm so blonde sometimes. I forget what happened on each episode. Could you possibly give us a little whole story report?
Oh, you know, I cook a little something up here for you.
Oh, thank you. You betcha. Thank you.
Oh, hello there, eh? I'd love to catch you up on Canada's Drag Race Season 2, Episode 2, but it's not too much of a bother for you. Gloria Hall, Brown Eyewitness News. Last time, we said our first goodbye to Beth after an exhilarating design challenge that was dominated by Isis Cooter. Geometric cleans off a disrespectful amount of lipstick, and the girls move forward. Brad and the goddess Tracy Melshore introduced the neighborhood-themed Quick Drag Pageant Mini Challenge, brought to us by DoorDash. DoorDash, get your soggy food 30 minutes late. Hey, I'm not judging. They had to pay for this amazing new workroom somehow. The delightful camp idol, Ocean Aqua Black, wins the challenge with her hilarious poutine look. She receives no extra benefit heading into the maxi challenge, which is a rusical with live singing. The Northern Danes work with vocal coach Tom Allison and learn choreography with the man I'm cheating on Jamal Sims with, Hollywood Jade. On to the main stage. The judging panel completely snapped and everyone looks stunning. The performance of Under the Big Top starts strong, yet is completely derailed by the trio of comedy clowns. It doesn't get better with the fashion clowns, and the train crashes into a children's hospital during the Reveal Queen song. But at least we get to see Charity Case again. Oh, sorry, that's the freaky clown. Thankfully, she did a pretty good job, as did the insult clown and the himbo. On the runway category is Circus Berserkus. My newsworthy looks were Eve 6000's lion, Ocean's three-ring tent gown, Pythia's unforgettable doubleheader, and Stephanie Prince's bearded lady. Pythia wins the challenge. Ocean and last week's winner Isis Couture are in the bottom two, and they duke it out to Stupid Shit by Girlicious. This is one Isis we like to see do well in the world, as Miss Couture is victorious. Sadly, this means our child of the forest, Ocean Aqua Black, is eliminated. 10 queens remain. I'm going to see if anyone in my area is looking for a big top. And that's the whole story.
Oh my God. Thank you so much.
Like snaps. Excellent snaps for that. That was very
thank you.
Impressive.
Thank you very much.
It is the funniest thing and I love it.
Okay. This was a bit of a, this was a kind of a wild episode. I mean, what was that performance?
I know, but I mean, Ocean injured herself last episode.
Right.
So, like, what was she going to do this episode?
I know.
She could have put those shoes in the bed, and that's what she could have done for a start. I was just going to say that I loved this episode, but similarly to the Sorry Not Sorry performance last year, I love it for all the wrong reasons. It's a performance that I'm going to watch drunkenly, maybe 6 times a week, because it was so bad. It's like, are they giving the girls more than 30 minutes to actually perform and learn these routines? Because it doesn't feel like it. I mean, I don't care about the singing. I'm not here for drag singing. I'm a lip sync lover.
Not everybody is. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm like, not here for drag singing at all. Like, I've never liked drag singing. I think it's like, I think it's extra.
Yeah. Right. But the thing was, my favorite thing is, and it's only really happened to Canada's Drag Race, the girls do their bit and then they step to the side like the camera's still not on them and they stand there like they're waiting for a buff.
I know. Honey, you're still on stage.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I'm so dead, but you're so right.
Yeah. And I'm glad that Brooklyn did say like, hey, listen, especially when they were critiquing Eve. Hey, I'm not going to judge your singing. Not everyone's a singer. Yeah, we asked you to do it for the challenge. But I'm glad that wasn't necessarily a factor. It was more based on their performance, how they sold it. A lot of the girls were really in their heads. The middle section was pretty tough.
Ooh. I mean, it just feels like they don't know exactly how to do a group number.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, Jamal makes magic happen. That is a fact. He knows how to get girls together. He definitely knows how to.
You mean Hollywood Jade?
No. Like, I just mean Jamal in general.
Comparatively.
I just don't feel that.
Oh, Jamal Sims. Yeah, no, he's an amazing choreographer.
Right, but it's like they didn't know what the girl's strengths were, didn't try and find out either, because like some of those girls should have just been walking. Should have been Brittany walking and that yeah. and about it. But like yeah. instead they were like they couldn't even do a spin. I said, can't even do a spin, girl. Come do it. Just sit on the floor.
And after they got to pick the roles themselves, and it was described as this is a dancing, like there is a dance number in this one. And I mean, that's kind of on them. But at the same time, I mean, yeah, but just such a struggle. They really just were unprepared.
Well, you know, the yeah. craziest thing is like, you know, Canada is not, I mean, it's a smaller place than, I mean, like Ireland's not a, is a smaller country, but like, you know, this is being done in Toronto, and Hollywood Jade is like the premier pageant choreographer.
Mm-hmm.
When there are drag things happening, Hollywood Jade is like one of the biggest choreographers in that scene. So for this to happen on his watch, I'm really sad. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Which was worse, sorry, not sorry, or this musical?
Yeah. I don't think it's a competition. I think they...
it's a game within a game.
Yeah, yeah.
I think...
I'm trying to remember things I remember about Sorry Not Sorry, so maybe that's a bad thing, that it was perhaps unforgettable. What do you think? Because I'm having trouble remembering it enough to compare them.
Well, the problem with that was that they were just kind of like, they were in like two groups, and they were just doing like something over here, something over here, something over here, and something over here. It was just kind of like a bunch of people on stage doing stuff. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If I really remember like the essence of that.
Mm-hmm. I at least for Under the Big Top, I thought the concept was at least a lot cooler, more engaging. It was like fun to position drag artistry as clowning in a circus. I thought that kind of worked. That concept was kind of cool.
Yeah, it was good.
And I really love the way how strong it started.
Mm-hmm.
When there's so much drag happening, sometimes I forget names. But her name, who started, who was the very first singer?
Yeah, she annoyed me for some reason. She lovely voice, but she, I don't know why, I just, it was like nails on a chalkboard every time she was on for me.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
look, not everyone can sell stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Fair.
You know.
And what I was kind of... slightly disappointed for, say, Jimbo was that they did call a character Bianca, the comedian cat. Why did Jimbo have to be renamed to Hippo? At least she's one of your own girls, do you know what I mean?
right. And then part of me was like, wait, is this supposed to be based on Jimbo? Because that felt very different than Jimbo, mm-hmm. you know?
Oh, maybe that's why they called him Himbo.
Yeah. Instead. Himbo, yeah.
It's Jimbo's...
Because I was also like, wait, which drag archetype is this? Himbo drag? Is that an archetype of drag?
Maybe it's Jimbo's twin brother.
yeah.
Because I think Jimbo is a twin. I'm pretty sure.
Oh.
Yes. I think you're right.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Okay, can we talk about this runway, which was actually like really cool, I thought. There were a lot of cool things happening.
Yeah, I liked it.
Like
cool
the
ideas.
The two-headed runway was phenom.
Yeah.
Done so beautifully.
Yeah. And really, really, really phenomenal. I cannot believe that the makeup was so exact on both. That was really stunning. Yeah.
I think, firstly, we finally found the right franchise for Charity Cakes, because I don't know how she's not being celebrated on Drag Race UK when her drag is phenomenal.
Oh,
but if
God.
She slotted into this cast, maybe she would have finally got the win that she's been deserving anyway.
Oh,
but
my.
The looks.
This is right up her alley, yeah.
Yeah, the looks are just so elevated. In comparison to season one, like if we're two episodes in and the girls are killing it so hard already, I'm like, wow.
Already.
And in the pandemic as well. I mean, nobody was still working a lot when this was filmed.
Yeah, I know. Super, super impressive.
I don't know if anyone had the budget to spend money on Drag Race. Oh, except, wait, what was wrong with this one person who couldn't walk? The one, she was like wearing yellow. I don't know her name.
Oh, it was like the high-flying acrobat type costume.
Yeah, but she like couldn't walk on the runway.
That was one of my least favorite looks. And yeah, it was like kind of slow. And
it was a bodysuit with like spray paint. So congrats.
Yeah. And the makeup and wig I thought was didn't fit quite with the concept, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But also like if you're doing like a circus performer for your thing on the runway, I would have expected a little more movement.
Yeah.
I guess. Yeah, it was a bit forgettable.
I don't know how I feel about the bearded lady.
I thought it was a lot of fun. I thought it was cool. Just the way she did it. Sure, not revolutionary, but I thought it was like cool. And
I think the way she walked down the runway was interesting, but it for me,
yeah,
I don't know.
I am wondering if two episodes in, I have a bias somehow against geometric.
I think
out of
do.
Drag,
very into it.
But geometric in drag, when she lip synced last week, I hated that look. Did not look runway to me at all. And then this week, I thought the judges kind of overpraised her.
I thought she did good in the challenge, though. She's a dancer. She knows how to move. Like,
sure, she was great in the challenge, but
in a space where no one can move, geometric is going to look phenomenal.
Yeah. You know what I mean? But the runway, though, I was really not the cannonball, human cannonball thing.
Okay.
I thought it was very Canadian and that was cool, but the helmet with the ponytail.
Yeah, I think that she could have gotten rid of the helmet. Like, that wasn't
necessary.
It just
didn't seem super elevated. Like, some people really went all out. And that, to me, I thought received a bit of undue praise from the judges.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've seen that helmet thing before. Obviously, Gigi Goode's Slaves, the helmet game. Yeah. I don't know how the hell she fits so many helmets into what the amount of bags that they're let in. Obviously, Gia Gunn did something similar.
She had very petite costumes, so she had a lot of space.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Which her mom made, and she never let us forget that.
I know. Thanks, Mom. Mama good.
The bearded lady thing, just to go back to that, straight away when I saw the bearded lady, I was like, you know what? This is me so much.
Aww.
That song from The Greatest Showman needs to absolutely leave this world forever. I'm sick of drag queens performing it. So any hint towards that character, I'm like, no, send her home.
I haven't seen Greatest Showman. I really don't want to.
That is a trash movie.
The trailer showed me everything I needed. It seemed like it was for the safest thing for a mass audience that you could possibly. And plus, P.T. Barnum was a racist and a human trafficker. So
he was a terrible person.
Bye. Don't need him played by Hugh Jackman for me, dog.
It's not even just that. It's also that, like, so Zendaya is my arch nemesis. I've never liked her, never not once.
That's great. Oh, wow. Okay.
And so I love that she's like super successful. Congratulations to her. But I hate having to legitimize her career with like other things other than what is her wheelhouse.
Oh, yeah. Like put her in big, dumb blockbusters.
Yeah. The last thing I need to see is in Diet and Musical. And also same thing for whatever his face is. That's also Zach or Evan or
Zac Efron.
I don't know his name.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whatever his name is.
It's funny because he started in High School Musical, but I'm not dying for him to be in musicals.
Yeah, I'm just like, both of them, I was like, please replace both of these people with, like, some talent. Because it's not their wheelhouse. Like, they should, like, Zac Efron should do movies, and she should also do movies or TV shows or something, but not, like, a musical. Because that's not, that's not actually what they're good at.
Yeah, everyone seems to, like, take a turn in a musical movie at some point now. Because there are going to be so many,
you know,
but they always get that Hollywood treatment of like, oh, this could have been great.
Right.
Well, it's like, it's too much auto-tune with like no originality. So I'm like, okay, thanks for nothing. I'm sorry. Yeah. If you can't Jennifer Hudson your way through a movie, don't make the movie.
Yeah. And not Cats.
Well, that also was a disaster.
Yes.
Like stop hiring like pop stars and, and like actors who can kind of sing. Why not hire actual people who do it for a living and let them do their shit on camera?
Make them into movie stars.
Yeah, make them into a movie star because they're that talented. Glee was only successful because they had like Lea Michele coming off of Spring Awakening.
Right.
To like really give the talent, to lend some talent to some up and coming stars.
Even though she's a monster.
No, I mean, but like, but when Glee started, we have to be honest. When Glee started,
like they had to have a powerhouse like that to get people to be like, oh, there's real singing in it.
Yeah.
Basically, what you're saying is just stop casting James Corden.
Yeah.
Oh,
I mean,
God.
Everyone's done with him.
Leave Hollywood forever.
I do love him, but I'm done with him being musicals. He can't be in every single one that they cast. Okay, but let's be honest here. I think Isis did a good job with that lip sync.
I honestly, straight away, I really wanted Ocean to stay in the competition.
Me too.
I also really wanted her to wear those shoes at every single episode, every single opportunity. I think she was a ray of sunshine, a lot of fun.
She was.
And in a world where a show is so dependent on characters, she was a great addition to the cast because she was going to create good storylines.
She really was. And the problem was, is that they put her in the bottom. They didn't need to do that.
No,
they could have put someone else in the bottom.
I don't think she necessarily deserved that. Because a critique about the trio that was stood out to me was that the two of them were excluding her. How is she supposed to play off of people excluding her in the trio? That's not her fault. And she really tried her best. And she was having fun, at least. And yeah, I'm really going to miss her on the show, too.
I think they could have said, she wasn't that great.
Yeah, she wasn't that great either.
Oh, but they did say that her outfit saved her. The lion, because that lion was really good.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
It was great. But I mean, her reveal clown, that was awful. And it could have been so good because it's like satirizing what we all know about reveals now is that like you always see it coming and they're not really reveals. And that's so funny. So ripe for jest, but she really, really did not sell it. But her outfit saved her.
Agreed.
Right. Over in the safety zone, aka the judges, because they're too afraid to say anything. Right, I thought the judging was fair in most parts, and also I'm really enjoying whatever extra budget that Brooklyn has been given for the looks, the hair, the makeup.
Better than her
looking stunning. The makeup artist who is painting her, I've started following him. Oh, the talent! Oh my God, incredible!
I know, because this year Brooklyn actually has a glam squad and a budget for outfits. Mm-hmm. Whereas last year, she had to do all that herself.
Yeah. She was basically participating on the show.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah.
And she still looked amazing, but it's just like, it shows you that they're not, that they weren't really investing in their queen.
Yeah.
Which on every other franchise, they have been.
Their budget is obviously wild now. And that workroom is really stunning.
You know, we didn't talk about this, but our friend Noah Millman reached out to us to let us know that the primary sponsor of this year's Canada's Drag Race is like Shoppers Drug Mart. It's as if like CVS was sponsoring.
Oh, I know. Yeah, because they're the ones doing the makeup, as if like how Anastasia does.
Yeah, they can win like a year's supply of. And here's the thing. So Shoppers Drug Mart is a drugstore, but it shows you how like businesses are different in different countries. They have a side to them that's like a beauty side. So they're really trying to like repackage themselves as like a beauty space.
Smart.
And you can go and speak with like beauty, like the same way that a pharmacy has a pharmacy. They have like beauty consultants.
Like, like how Walgreens has like a whole pharmacy. That's smart. Good for them. Maybe it's a bit of a niche because like you've always been able to get beauty products at drugstores, but for one to focus on it, yeah, maybe that's a great idea. I mean, they definitely got the right tie-in with Canada's Drag Race, so.
Exactly. Nick, what happened on Drag Race UK this week?
Hello, Governor. We're back in the workroom to watch a few dames duke it out.
Gloria Hole, Brown Eyewitness News. Last time, we saw the girl groups battle with two versions of the same song, and Charity and Scarlett got the highly coveted double Shantae for that lip sync. The girls have another shot to impress and balance out the rising repeater badge economy. But the bottom bond is shattered when pairing up for the mini challenge, and Scarlett gets left in the dust with the front runner. Scarlett and Crystal win the adorable nod to dog show competitions, and Rue introduces the maxi challenge, a commercial for Draglexa, the digital drag assistant. The winners play team captains with Charity last picked, and they're off. After much struggle and work, we're off to the main stage. Rue wears a classic look with a bucket of legs, and on the runway category is X-Penny Henny. My top newsworthy looks were from Kitty Scott Claus, Crystal Versace, Vanity Milan, somehow, and River Medway. As for the videos, Team Crystal was clearly better, but both were pretty disappointing. Rue is pissed and declares that there will be no winners. The hits keep coming as the dreaded who should go home question is asked, and most girls say Scarlet Harlot, which leads to an explosive Untucked. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage Deja Vu, as we are on repeat with Scarlett and Charity in the bottom two for the second time in a row. The Queen's lip sync to Big Spender, but will it be sweet for Charity? It's a no, as the Green Goblet of Drag, Dear Charity Case, is eliminated, and we'll never get to see her manipulated into a purely glamorous look. Seven queens remain, Drag Race continues to punish boundary pushers, and that's the whole story.
Wow. Yeah. R.I.P. Charity Case. We've been saying it for weeks. I don't know if this was her show.
I know. Yeah, you've brought it up in the past.
It should be, though.
Yeah.
Like, the talent is seriously off the charts. I don't think we've ever seen someone deliver, like, such different looks from week to week at such a high level of polish as well.
Yeah.
And even though they were gruesome, do you know what I mean? I feel, firstly, facts are, Charity won last week's lip sync.
Yeah.
It was not a double Shantae, even though it was, it was in the episode.
It was definitely not a double Shantae.
No.
I said it at the start of the episode. I was like, that's a double Shantae. Mm-hmm. If that's the level of criticism for lip syncing in the UK, we need to recalibrate.
Mm-hmm. And if not for the lip sync, then just for the fact that Scarlett forgot her words multiple times in the performance
that she wrote
and was very visible, like wasn't even trying to sell it, wasn't even trying to recover. That's not good. But they kept her, so.
I mean, in relation to this challenge, firstly, I don't know if the brief was strong enough that the girls were given in the first place. You can't make magic out of something that isn't particularly strong to start with. I get where the idea came from. Last year, everyone was doing their own version of Alexa ads, so Jasmine Master's voice was used as an Alexa, but would have lovely... hetero family sitting around it looking all wholesome, and I get that that was really funny, but also like that's really hard to recreate because Jasmine's speeches are iconic and the girls are supposed to pull out some sort of iconic moment in a day,
right?
It's hard.
I kind of wish they would do stuff that's like more like make a viral video. I actually think that the challenges, did any of you watch the Cock Destroyers TV show?
Yeah. Uh-uh.
I think the challenges for the Cock Destroyers TV show were way better than this. Because it was all about making like viral media.
Mm-hmm.
And so they give them like really weird like situations under which they had to like do something. And it actually was like funnier. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think that like RuPaul's Drag Race relies on camp humor. And I think that it's not that camp humor is bad. It's a, like, I think camp humor has evolved.
Well, a lot of people aren't good at it.
And they're still doing like the base level.
A lot of people don't understand that it's more than shouting vagina and things like that.
And these are a very young cast of queens as
very
well.
Young.
So, you know, anyone who's on this show who is 19 has never even actually really been to a gay bar at this point because the pandemic has happened for a year and a half. So
they've
not really gotten to experience what gay culture is in the club land or see other queens how they use their shtick to like make camp comedy moments. So when you've got such a young cast, maybe that is going to be more difficult for them.
That was like the most polite, shady thing that you could ever say.
Thank you. I think that Drag Race needs to be okay with repeating some challenges as well, because when you're cranking out, you know, 30 seasons at this point, if you look worldwide, some of the challenges have been so great that, you know, maybe it's time to start. I wouldn't mind seeing some of these again. Do you know what I mean?
No, there have been a couple episodes of Drag Race where they literally have done like the same episode. They've literally like redone challenges from like point by point for the season. And it was just, I really appreciate that because sometimes when it's good, you know, it's like Snatch Game.
Yeah.
Like it's always good. It's always worth it. So, you know, or like a trash challenge. Like make beautiful outfits from trash. Always is lovely. Non-conventional materials, you know, anyway, basically they just don't need to like, they don't need to keep reinventing the wheel per se. They just have to make sure that, that the cast has enough depth in their performance to handle it.
Or bring in some experts like what Leva. I would love to see the girls do a workshop with an improv person as part of this. Like, we can upskill the girls while doing it, you know, like in a way. And there's such a strong improv stand-up scene in the UK. They could have gotten so many amazing people involved. I mean, I love that.
Remember when Stacey, what's her face, taught everyone how to walk?
Mackenzie? Yeah.
Yeah.
And it like elevated the whole season because none of the girls apparently knew how to walk down a runway.
I miss her, by the way.
I know.
Me too. I think she was sick or something and she couldn't come back.
Oh, really?
I heard. Actually, never mind.
Sorry. The lead news story was that Stacey Mackenzie was sick. She also could have been fired. Who knows?
Yeah, I heard they definitely wanted her back. I think I could say this. But basically, I like she was getting like a nosebleed, I heard, from the daily COVID tests. So it really didn't suit her. I don't even know if I should say that, but hey, I think I should say that. I don't even know who told me it.
No, I mean, but, that's fine.
Because
COVID was very real. And, you know, if it's hard for you to get tested every day, that's a real thing. Because, if she had to, like, live in a bubble.
Horrible. Mm-hmm. But I do miss her. I mean, I was a fan of her from America's Next Top Model, Canada's Next Top Model. Mm-hmm. I think she appeared on both. She was a judge on Canada's Next Top Model. Love her. I think she's iconic. Yeah. Love her voice. And she made great TV. In fact, she was my favorite judge last year.
I actually think that she could have been... I actually wish that they just had switched Tracy and Stacey so that Tracy Melcher would be a judge. And so she'd give more commentary. And then Stacey could just be like in the workroom giving girls tips on how to like be fierce.
Love that.
She'd be like the Love show that. Mom of the series.
What an interesting concept anyway, to have a coach in general, like someone in the workroom for different episodes that they're actually trying to bring the best end result out of.
Yeah. Well, because you know that, like, Rue doesn't go and actually coach anyone. She just, like, counsels them on their life. I don't know if Rue's the right person to be giving everyone advice on how to do their best drag. I think Rue can just is like, oh, this is quality. And this is why I'm, like, excited about Call Me Mother. Like, I want people to be coached and nurtured. Mm-hmm. It's really funny when, like, someone's struggling on Drag Race and, like, hey, next week, can you, like, do something different? But it's literally days in between. Mm-hmm. It's hard to be consistently creative when that happens. Because, like, literally yesterday you told me I was shit. So, like, I'm back today. And, like,
I know. And with Charity, like, when he said, like, now just imagine if you did that with good makeup that we like. And then send her
home.
Well,
I mean,
she could. She was really good this episode.
She was great.
She was great. I don't think she needed the nose.
It was pretty intense, but I kind of got what she was going for, I guess, of being like a goblin and goblins like treasure. I kind of liked that, I guess. But yeah, it was.
I think
they don't
she
like
took
the
nose off.
They want drag to only be pretty.
I know, which is kind of one note, which is terrible.
Yeah, but they told her I really thought she was going to be safe because they said in the critiques, like, see, now we want to see you do just something glamorous. That was essentially the note she got, just like with Ginny Lemon. And I thought that meant they were going to keep her around in at least one more week to give her a shot of doing that. But nope.
Well, here's the thing. So, you know, some people are all about living their truth, right? And they're like, I'm just going to be honest no matter what. Like, no filter, no nothing, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. I think every now and then a filter does work. Mm-hmm. And the reason why it works is if you're able to read the room and do what's appropriate, you can then do whatever you want after that. So let's compare Charity Case to Evie Oppley.
Okay. Yeah.
Who loves being weird. Who's a queen that loves doing like the off-kilter thing. Mm-hmm. But Evie Oddly did serve like a couple glam looks. Mm-hmm. Not because that was her real house, but just to show that she could do it.
Yeah. She kind of knew going in. Yeah.
Yeah. I think the only thing that I will critique Charity Case for, because she's been way too critiqued, and you're right, honestly, like no one's serving this level of polish, is that it's like, okay, if the judges are reading me for being too avant-garde, maybe I'll just walk down the runway in the same gorgeous makeup that she did when she was wearing the orange outfit.
Yeah.
But like in this like bedazzled thing and, you know, like rename what it is. Mm-hmm. Like make up some other definition, make up some random definition, right? But with like a pretty face, done. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Just for shits and giggles.
Right.
You know?
But she did not want to buckle on what she does. And I do really respect that.
I know.
I know, but this is like, but this is what I mean. Like, some people want to live their truth.
Yeah.
But you know what? Like, you can't live your truth everywhere. It's the same where it's like, if I don't feel safe, I'm not going to do it. Mm-hmm. So it's like, this is not a safe space for Charity Case. Mm-hmm. And I wish that she would just like realize that. And it could have been a different drag race if she would, if she'd been able to just bend her looks mm-hmm. for one episode.
Yeah.
You only need to do it once mm-hmm. to show that you can do it. And then you just go straight back to it.
Then they would have gotten off of her back for sure.
Yeah. But it's like when they keep critiquing you for the same thing, yeah. you have to do a 180 just to change the judge's palette. Yeah. Because I do think it's unfair. I do think it's like, they don't see her value.
Yeah.
And I just wish that like, she could have done that. You know what I mean? But like, mm-hmm. I do think it's a travesty that she's out of the competition because literally who are you going to look to for fashion mm-hmm. now?
So true. So true. The other thing to remember is that when the girls like get a list of stuff that they need to get ready for the show, they have a description of something that they need to get, but it's not going, okay, this is, you know, exactly what the challenge is going to be called. So then when they get to mm-hmm. film the actual episode, that's when they really find out the exact description of what it's going to be mm-hmm. called on TV. Do you know what I mean? So
I see.
Yeah.
You can have prepared something and thinking that you're nailing something so right. And then just the shift of one word to change from inspired by instead of being an actual Spice Girl or something like that can mm-hmm. can totally yeah. make your look valid or invalid. You know, that kind of way.
I know. And then they're like, you didn't read the assignment. And it's like, but the assignments that you write are not the assignments that you say on TV. Mm-hmm. So how dare
you? Right.
How dare you? And it's so different because, you know, like if there was like a theme night at like at a drag show, mm-hmm. they'd tell you what the theme was and then you'd have to do the theme. Mm-hmm. Whereas like a drag race, they give you like loose definitions and then they call it something else.
Right.
And this has happened before in like Holland's Drag Race where they were like...
The family resemblance one?
No. When they did like the two genders.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Oh, the split. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The prompt that the queens got was different from what they called it. Mm-hmm. And so then they were like, oh, you didn't do the assignment. But they were also like being like very, very like trans and non-binary phobic.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a mess. Anyway. Okay. So who won the lip sync?
Oh, God. Okay. I'm going to say two different things. I was probably ready for Scarlett to sashay away, but she... Mm-hmm. She did pull it out of the bag a little bit more than Charity. However, I like Charity's campy, interesting take on a lip sync because it's not like what everyone else is doing. So, I mean, I don't know. It was close. It was really close.
I agree that it was close. But when, by the end of it, even before they said, you know, Shantae to whoever, I was pretty sure they were going to keep Scarlett around.
Yeah.
Just because it just... Yeah, it wasn't, I had hoped that it would have been some kind of like when Utica did my humps and it was weird enough that it worked out and she got saved. Mm. But I don't think Charity seemed as interested in sticking around.
Yeah.
I have seen some stories now in the past couple of days, news stories that are like, by the time I was told to leave, I didn't want to be there anymore anyway.
Right.
And after being told every single week, like, we want to see you be pretty once. And it's like, well, that's not really my drag.
Yeah.
They also need Scarlett for the talking heads. There's not a huge amount of people in this season who are strong in the confessionals. And Scarlett is one of the people who's telling the story of the season. So to lose her will be a pretty big loss to the production.
Well, young queens, they don't have the personality. I think Charity would have done better if she didn't take off the helmet.
Okay.
I think the hair was a little weird.
Yeah. But she just wasn't dancing as much as Scarlett. She wasn't moving around as much. Well, I mean,
Scarlett went to her knees and was doing, you know, the most in a white suit. That was gorgeous. Mm-hmm. And I think Charity should have took off the nose.
Yeah, maybe so.
If you're gonna take anything off.
I think it would have worked if she stayed exactly as she was, but played it super sexy and like being on the floor and doing a lot of sexual movements. I think that could have been really funny. Juxtaposed with the look that it was. Right. They may have really bought that, but
we'll never know. Well, I also want to say, honorable mention, Kitty Scott-Claus looked phenomenal on the runway this week.
So beautiful.
Like that nude, that was her nude.
Mm-hmm. I liked it more than, oh my God, Crystal's bodysuit, which Crystal looked amazing. Yeah. but I was like more blown away by Kitty.
Underwhelmed by Crystal on this episode, but like, I mean, Kitty saw claws. I mean, that was...
She's hilarious and she's beautiful. So what yeah. more do you need?
I mean, she just looked... And she looked so petite this episode. Mm-hmm. It's so funny because mm-hmm. she's looked like a bigger queen for most of it. But this episode, the proportions are right. The body was right. The look was right. The makeup was right. It was all good.
Yeah. I think she's the secret assassin and potentially the one to beat. Like, she just is moving along very nicely, hitting all the right marks.
Mm-hmm.
And the audience love a story. So, you know, mm-hmm. if you hit the top spot at the start and don't show the growth along the way, they're less rooting for you than if you show growth along the way.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I also think the proportion for her hair to her face was right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
She looked really
like the
beautiful.
Drag math is in her favor on that outfit. Yeah. Anyway, love the UK for what they're bringing us, but maybe next year, maybe like average age, 27. Mm-hmm. How about that?
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah.
I mean, it would only be even more British to have some of the older, campier, cabaret queens. Like, they should really emphasize that, I think. Stop trying to make it American style and really emphasize what is British about their drag. Yeah, I think that'd be great. Yeah.
Totally. And there's such a huge pond of types of drag in the UK that would make for really interesting things. And also, those girls are less worried about what falls out of their mouth, which honestly just makes a more natural flow for an episode. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
What I've been thinking. The young kids are thinking that these fans are going to kill me online, and that's what's back, you know?
Yeah. As long as they don't Tamisha Amane, I think older queens will definitely do better on TV because they have more substance.
Yeah.
But that being said, it's been so much fun, Victoria.
Oh, I'm always catching up with you guys again.
You too.
I know. It is, you know, I'm going to quote Designing Women. I don't know if you know this quote. It's like the first time, every time.
Love it.
I don't know if you've seen that episode. No, but honestly, it's so great to talk to you. I'm so glad that you can reign on the dance floor with Lady Gaga, with Dua Lipa, you know, all that goodness.
Oh, it's gonna rain.
Because you deserve it. Ireland has clearly done the work.
Yeah.
And we are, I'm ashamed of my country right now.
Me too. 95%
over the age of 16. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, it's awesome. Wild. It's wild. I mean, there's still 300,000 people who have not been vaccinated yet, but I mean, that's a very small amount of people in the bigger picture, but hopefully some of them will get vaccinated because the program is still running and we're starting to do our next booster vaccine now for people over 60. So it's all going in the right direction.
Good.
I believe that when 95% of the people in your country are vaccinated, there is a will and there's a way to get the 300,000 get with it. I wish that were possible in the United States.
So fair.
Okay. But that being said, we do believe in the fervent, fierce, and dedicated stalking of all of our guests. So where can people find you, stalk you, celebrate you online in a consensual manner?
And I probably got TikTok. I think I've given up on it. Maybe I'll, you know, unless another lockdown happens and I have nothing to do, except try to make TikTok happen. So on Instagram at Victoria's Secret Dublin is always the best place to find me. Or on Twitter at Victoria_Secret. And street corners and bars around Ireland once again.
To see you on a street corner in full drag.
I'm lying. I'm far too lazy to be in real life situations in drag. It's horrific.
I know. But you know what? Also, funny story. I have to say that your retirement from TikTok is clearly on a high because I used to watch basically like half of all of your TikToks and they were always the funniest thing ever. And I just want to commend you for actually having artistry on the platform that, you know what, if you don't want to keep it up, you don't have to, because they don't deserve it. Like, you have other things that you do really, really well. So like, why do you need to spend more time doing TikToks?
Fair.
One of my all-time favorites was honestly like not even in drag. You were just having like lunch in the country with your fam and then you made a short TikTok about it.
Oh yeah.
It was lovely. It was just lovely.
Thanks. It was also paid content. So,
Oh no. I knew that it was paid content. So I was like, wait to endorse products, but also involve your family, but then also involve getting drunk. And I was like, that is the way that I want to live my life.
The fun part is I don't even drink gin, and that was the gin brand. Well, I will ensure to have many cocktails for you both tonight in Ireland and really raise the roof in your honor.
Yay. Good. Yes, please. We're there in spirit.
So good to see you. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Moral of the story, live love and get vaccinated like people in Ireland, people, because that is a fashion trend that I will follow.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Bye.
Bye, darling.
Whispering Hunties is not endorsed by World Lenders, VH1, IHOP, Great Canada, or any of their subsidiaries. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. RuPaul's Drag Race and Canada's Drag Race and all names, pictures, and audiences are registered trademarks and or copyrights of their respective copyright holders.
Thanks for listening to the Apocalypse Podcast Network. For more great podcasts, go to apocalypsepodcastnetwork.com. And remember, every time you support one of our sponsors, you're supporting the podcast you just heard.